Topic 89, First Initiation, Birth. 1. At the first initiation, the control of the ego over the physical body must have reached a high degree of attainment. The sins of the flesh, as the Christian phraseology has it, must be dominated. Gluttony, drink, and licentiousness must no longer hold sway. The physical elemental will no longer find its demand obeyed. The control must be complete and the lure departed. A general attitude of obedience to the ego must have been achieved, and the willingness to obey must be very strong. The channel between the higher and the lower is widened, and the obedience of the flesh practically automatic. From Initiation, Human and Solar, page 82. 2. After this first initiation, the initiate is taught principally the facts of the astral plane. He has to stabilize his emotional vehicle and learn to work on the astral plane with the same facility and ease as he does on the physical plane. He is brought in contact with the astral devas. He learns to control the astral elementals. He must function with facility on the lower subplanes, and the value and quality of his work on the physical plane becomes of increased worth. He passes, at this initiation, out of the hall of learning into the hall of wisdom. At this time, emphasis is consistently laid on his astral development, and although his mental equipment grows steadily, a long period of many incarnations may elapse before the control of the astral body is perfected and the initiate is ready for the next step. From Initiation, Human and Solar, page 84. 3. The first initiation is within reach of many, but the necessary one-pointedness and the firm belief in the reality ahead, coupled to a willingness to sacrifice all rather than turn back, are deterrents to many. If this book serves no other purpose than to spur someone to renewed believing effort, it will not have been written in vain. From Initiation, Human and Solar, page 111. 4. The first initiation simply stands for commencement. A certain structure of right living, of thinking, and of conduct has been attained. The form that the Christ is to occupy has been constructed, and now that form is to be vivified and indwelled. The Christ life enters and the form becomes alive. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 352. 5. Very little egoic control need be evidenced when the first initiation is taken. That initiation indicates simply that the germ of soul life has vitalized and brought into functioning existence the inner spiritual body, the sheath of the inner spiritual man, which will eventually enable the man at the third initiation to manifest forth as a full-grown man in Christ. Between the first and second initiations, much time can elapse, and much change must be wrought during the many stages of discipleship. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 14. 6. The throat center is related to the first initiation and develops great activity when that point in experience is achieved, as it has been achieved by the vast majority of men who are at this time the aspirants and the probationary disciples of the world. Forget not that, technically speaking, the first major initiation from the hierarchical angle is the third. The first initiation is regarded by the masters as signifying admission to the path. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 4, Esoteric Healing, page 152. 7. Many thousands of people in the world today have taken the first initiation and are oriented towards the spiritual life and the service of their fellow men. Their lives, however, frequently leave much to be desired, and the soul is obviously not in constant control. A great struggle is still being waged to achieve purification on all three levels. The lives of these initiates are faulty, and their inexperience great, and a major attempt is instituted in this particular cycle to achieve soul fusion. When that is attained, then the third initiation, the first hierarchically speaking, is taken. From a treatise on the seven rays, volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 385. 8. An instance of a slow permeation of information from the plane of initiation to the physical brain can be seen in the fact that very few aspirants and disciples register the fact that they have already taken the first initiation, the birth of the Christ in the cave of the heart. That they have taken it is evidenced by their deliberate treading of the way, by their love of the Christ, no matter by what name they call him, and by their effort to serve and help their fellow men. They are still, however, surprised when told that the first initiation lies behind them. From a treatise on the seven rays, volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 436 through 437. 9. It can be assumed that all earnest and true aspirants and disciples who work without deviation for spiritual advancement with pure motive and who are oriented unswervingly towards the soul have taken the first initiation. From a treatise on the seven rays, volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 484. 10. The energy and radiation of the Lord of the seventh ray are becoming steadily more powerful in the three worlds. This incoming of a ray always produces an intensified period of initiatory activity, and this is the case today. The major effect, as far as humanity is concerned, is to make possible the presentation of thousands of aspirants and applicants for the first initiation. Men on a large scale and in mass formation can today pass through the experience of the birth initiation. Thousands of human beings can experience the birth of the Christ within themselves and can realize that the Christ life, the Christ nature, and the Christ consciousness are theirs. The experience need not be expressed in occult terms, and in the majority of cases will not be. The individual initiate who takes this initiation is aware of great changes in his attitude to himself, to his fellow men, to circumstances, and to his interpretation of life events. These are the special reactions which attend the first initiation. A new orientation to life and a new world of thought are registered by the initiate. Each initiation indicates a stage in the growth and the development of this new factor in the human consciousness and expression, and this continues until the third initiation, when there emerges the full-grown man in Christ. From a treatise on the seven rays, volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 569 through 570. 11. The lives of initiates of the first initiation are beginning to be controlled by the Christ consciousness, which is the consciousness of responsibility and service. These initiates exist in their thousands today. They will be present in their millions by the time the year 2025 arrives. All this reorientation and unfoldment will be the result of the activity of the seventh ray and of the impact of its radiation upon humanity. From a treatise on the seven rays, volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 571. 12. The first initiation marks the beginning of a totally new life and mode of living. It marks the commencement of a new manner of thinking and of conscious perception. The life of the personality in the three worlds has for eons nurtured the germ of this new life and fostered the tiny spark of light within the relative darkness of the lower nature. This process is now being brought to a close, though it is not at this stage entirely discontinued, for the new man has to learn to walk, to talk, and to create. The consciousness is now, however, being focused elsewhere. This leads to much pain and suffering until the definite choice is made, a new dedication to service is vouchsafed, and the initiate is ready to undergo the baptism of initiation. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 667. 13. All true aspirants have taken the first initiation. This fact is indicated by their intensive struggle to grow into the spiritual life, to follow the way of determined orientation to things of the Spirit, and to live by the light of that Spirit. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 716.